in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is off the stage and on the air. I am Lisa Sheps, and I cannot hear myself, but I'm going to assume that you can. This is performance number 363. I am Lisa Sheps, as I said, along with co-host Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on offstage and on the air. Don't go away.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
I wish I knew exactly how I'll act and what.
It is Wednesday, June 1st, 2016. This is our brand new season in our eighth year here on Co-op. On the show today, we are joined by the Sam Bass Community Theater's production of Death and the Maiden, and Natalie George Productions and her production of Hotel Vanya, and there's a lot more to this title that I didn't write down, and we'll talk about that later. And of course, we will have lively discussions with news and views of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Albuquerque, Australia, and Canada. Stick with us. How's that for timing, Miss Nicole Shiro?
That was pretty good. And how about that? Both mics are on.
Both mics are on. You're a pro. So as we do here at Offstage and on the Air, you're learning the system of how to operate an engineer. We're titrating you up, as we say in the pharmaceutical industry. We're titrating you up. You were doing just CD players last week. Now you're doing CD players and mics. And
I'm living on the edge today,
Lisa. You're doing a kick A job.
Woo!
So that's my way of checking in with you. Let me check in with you. Okay. There you go. That was really good. Well, I'm going to check in with you because you arranged for two lovely theater outings for me in the past week.
Did you know that I like theater?
No,
if you
I didn't
know,
that's
Lisa,
new for you.
I like theater and I like to talk about it and share it with people.
But you arranged for me to go see The Wizard of Oz at
the Long Center.
And this was the, as our listeners know and are aware of, this was the Andrew Lloyd Webber update.
Correct.
Of The Wizard of Oz. And it was quite fun. There were some really good parts of it. And there's some parts, I mean, they're here and gone, so I can say my true opinion. There were some parts that I think they could have done better. It was clearly a non-equity tour. And when you do non-equity tours, you get a mishmash of talent on stage, and that's what we had. There were some great things. I loved the scenery. And did anybody else here see it? No? They handled the Yellow Brick Road really, really well, I thought. And it reminds me of is everybody a fan of the movie?
Love it, yeah.
Okay. So the movie, you know how the Yellow Brick Road, and you can tell they're on a set, and they dance right up to a big hard backdrop with the Yellow Brick Road. They sort of do a similar thing here. They've got a Yellow Brick Road on a wagon that moves left and right and rotates, and it rotates up to the backdrop, which works, and it lines up pretty darn well. I was not sitting center, and it still lined up. It worked. Anyway, so thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. And then you went to another theater.
Right, we're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
So we're just going to stick with The Wizard of Oz for right now. So the weather, let me just look up the official weather report on the Weather Service. Yep, it's crazy. It's raining. It's not raining.
I love that you faxed the weather service and it answered you.
It's
that was awesome.
It's pouring. It's sunshining. Make up your mind.
It's only raining in my heart.
It reminds me, who watches who loves Airplane, the movie?
Oh, me. Okay. Yeah.
Remember the guy that he's going, they're playing, he's looking at the radar and he goes, he's left, he's right, he's over, he's such a blankety blank. I don't know. I thought that was funny. So let's introduce who's here with us, shall we?
Yes, let us.
We'll go from left to right. Mr. Robert Stevens, welcome back.
Hello.
Hello. We're happy to have you. Frank Binge, hi.
Hello.
And Kathy Sheridan, hello.
Howdy doody.
Ronnie Pryor.
Hi.
Mr. Dallas Tate, newcomer to the show.
Hi, thanks.
And Ms. Natalie George.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're having so much fun. So the song I played at the very beginning,
which was a little ditty.
It was a ditty. A little ditty, we're singing in the city. It's from She Loves Me.
I know. I love that show.
Do you know do you know what that song is called?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Natalie.
Natalie's
tonight
all excited.
At 8.
Tonight
what
at
time?
8. And do you have any 8. Idea why I chose that song to open our show today, June 1st, 2016?
Because something exciting is happening tonight at 8.
No, that would be nice.
I'm just kidding.
God, now I'm depressed. No, this is our 8th year. This is the beginning of our 8th year on the air.
Bananas, right?
It's Snickery D.
Yes.
Which, by the way, for those that are driving through my neighborhood will discover that that's the name of my wireless network.
I hope it's password protected.
What's the
Should
password
I give everyone
for that?
The address?
The password for that is R. Stevens. Okay, so we had already passed out, just a reminder, this is Tony season right now. We passed out to our guests ballots for the Tonys, and as folks that follow this show, and yes, I'm speaking to you, know that we give our guests ballots. Once the Tonys are done, we count up our ballots and see how our guests do. And historically, they've done pretty good.
Yeah, overall, the percentages are larger and further than I anticipated.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a little golf clap.
You know what
Thank
would have
you.
Been cool?
In advance.
If we had, and they're at the Ground Floor Theater, the golf pencils to use to fill out the forms and
there
then the
you
golf
go.
Clap.
And we do have golf
I
pencils.
I do love golf
at
pencils. I have a thing for golf pencils. I don't know why they're exciting.
So I have this big, huge thing right here. Lots of paper with lots of Tony trivia. And I thought we'd just play with this for the next few weeks. But here's some interesting things that we did. This is an easy question. Who is the performer with the most Tony Awards?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Performer.
Performer.
Oh. Nice try.
Does it that means male
but,
or female?
But the answer to that question would be Stephen Sondheim.
So it's male or female,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, performer. Audra McDonald.
Is it Audra? I was about to say it's Audra, isn't it?
But she's not the only one. Julie Harris won 6 as well.
Both I think women. They said that once or Audra won that last one and then
And also Julie Harris won
category.
A special Tony. But the composer with the most Tony Awards is indeed Stephen Sondheim. Choreographer with the most Tony Awards?
Is it Bennett or Tommy Toon? Or is it Kathleen Marshall?
Fosse.
Oh, it's Fosse.
I'd like to welcome Patty Neftivin to the show.
Come I know.
Say hello in the microphone,
you have
Patty
to.
Neftivin.
Hello in the microphone.
Hey, Patty, step up. What is happening at Ground Floor Theater these days, real quick, while you're here?
Well, we're still getting mail. That's one good thing.
As she stands there with, you're like Mr. McFeely with the delivery.
I came with the mail. That's why I'm here today. Not to interrupt.
Well, good. Well, welcome. And hopefully I'm going to see Patty Neftivin later tonight for dinner,
hopefully.
Along with Jen Vinsky,
Jen Vinsky,
former of Co-op.
Wait a minute. Is it tonight at 8?
It's tonight at 7. Patty, you're welcome to stay and play with us if you like.
I'm going to run along. I've got work to do for Ground Floor Theater.
Excellent. Keep going. Keep doing it. We love it.
Bye, Patty.
Bye.
So what show holds the record for the most nominated in Tony history?
Oh, well, does it count for this year, too?
Yes, it does.
Oh, then Hamilton.
Who's second?
Billy Elliot and the Producers.
Oh, very
both
good.
Both at 15.
Yeah, you're very good. And the Producers currently is the most winning show. And as Frank Binge and I discussed before, we believe it will hold that record at the end of this. Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah. I didn't. Well, you know what? I did not like it when I first saw it, when it first opened.
I remember you saying that,
but
actually.
But it has... It has grown. We didn't know each other when it first opened.
No, you and I have had this conversation about you saying you didn't like it when it first opened.
I believe you're right.
Yes.
So keeping with the theme of 8, and I'm really just looking at this for the first time, so this may be a good fact or a really boring fact. 8 is great is the headline, and it is. Jason Robards Jr. received more Tony nominations than any other male actor. 8 nominations for Long Day's Journey to Night, The Disenchanted, Toys in the Attic, After the Fall, Huey, lots of Eugene O'Neill. The Country Girl, A Moon for the Misbegotten, and A Touch of the Poet. More Eugene O'Neill. Touch of the Poet's O'Neill, isn't it?
I think it is.
Out of all those nominations, how many do you think he won?
How many were those?
Eight. He won eight nominations for Best Actor. How many did he win?
Five.
He's Dallas Tate says five.
I say three.
It's three.
Three.
Anybody want to say one?
I was like...
In the microphone, Frank.
Three.
No, it's one. It's one for the disenchanted. Which I don't know. So y'all want to do one more of these?
Sure.
Go for it, Lisa.
Because I think we have time. Let's just see. Oh, then this is a blank page.
Bring it on. We're waiting in anticipation.
Oh, this is something I did not know, actually.
Okay.
And I should have known it. It's probably everybody's going to say to me, duh. Peter Schaefer and Anthony Schaefer are twin brothers. Were twin brothers. I guess.
Duh.
Did you really know that, Robert?
No, but, okay. But you asked for it. Someone to say
I
it.
I know. Well, so Anthony Schaefer, does anybody remember, knows what he's famous for and what Tony he was honored with? What, these are both playwrights.
I don't remember the Tony, to be honest.
Sleuth.
Oh, okay.
And then Peter won two. He won for Equus and Amadeus. Mm-hmm. Equus, son of Flequus, son of Nequus. Walk.
Tell me, Lisa, tell me.
I know all the lines. All right. So we had a little bit of news here. Dear Evan Hansen, which I'm like, it closed last Sunday off Broadway. It is definitely moving to Broadway, which is very sad because I wanted to try to do it in December. And so now those rights will not be available. And also, as people know, I'm going to New York next week and I was hoping to go see it and it is closed.
Yarr!
So anybody else excited about Dear Evan Hansen? Anybody know anything about Dear Evan
Hansen?
I'm
not excited, but I'm not like, woo!
I think
it's cool.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so Dear Evan Hansen just played off Broadway, and it's with, why can't I remember his name from Pitch Perfect?
The guy you love, and I don't know the actor's
name.
No,
I love him. He's in it.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember his name? So it's the story of a boy who was bullied. And the bully was a misfit, and he wrote a letter. He faked a letter from that boy to himself, and then the boy committed suicide. And the family saw the letter and thought that he actually had a friend because he was a misfit, and he plays it up. So it's a musical. It's like a four-person musical. And it deals with bullying, and it got great notices.
The music that I've heard from it, too, sounds really, really good.
Yeah, and the composer is, oh, my God. I cannot remember. Hold on, I'm going to... Oh, you know what? I could have really probably, for the actor, I can probably just look at this piece of paper.
Oh, well, you have a paper here. On the article?
Yeah, I have it. I printed it.
How about that?
So the composers are Pasek and Paul, that I should have figured out.
That's a fun name to
Benji
say,
Benji Pasek and Justin Paul, who, listeners to this show, who watched... Smash, know that that's the two
third thing.
The two guys were
Pasek and Paul.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Michael Greif directed it, and it starred Benjamin Platt. Okay.
Benjamin Platt?
Isn't his name Benjamin?
Is it Benjamin Platt?
Hold on.
It could be. It could be. I know the guy by face, you know, by looking at him.
It's not Benjamin Bratt.
No, it's not Benjamin Bratt. It's not Oliver Platt.
It is.
And it's a combination of the two.
It
Benjamin
is.
Platt.
And it's not Benjamin Franklin.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
But it is Ben Platt, and he's a whopping 22 years old, and he won the Obie for Best Performance. Mm.
He's a very young peanut. I knew that.
He's a peanut.
I like that you rip it with
Speaking
passion.
Speaking of peanuts, something I totally forgot to acknowledge coming into this. Normally at the opening of the show, we thank Remix for a great show, but we didn't do that today.
Oh, and he had peanut music on today. What was the name of the library?
Let me say who he is first. And that was Kim Simpson. So International Folk Bazaar moved to this time slot directly before us. So they are our new neighbors here, and he plays roots music from the internet, for international roots music, and he played all kids' music, and it was, I loved it.
There was a name for the library, though, because I was saying
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Library of Commerce? Congress, perhaps?
No, it was like something children's library.
Your favorite show is closing June 5th.
Dude, don't even get me started. I actually had a conversation with my mom on the phone. I think I'm flying up Sunday morning, going to the matinee, and flying home.
Oh, no. That's
the only thing I can do.
So
I have less than 24.
Before you say who it is, can anybody imagine what show she's talking about? Anybody?
I think I know.
Oh, you know.
I listen to you. Is it American Psycho?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have no idea why you would want to do that.
And then Nick tells me last night he's really good friends with Benjamin. I'm like, oh, now I really got to get on a plane. He's like, I'll call him. I'm like, I really got to get on a plane and go. I can do the matinee and have to turn around.
But they have been doing just over 50%.
I know.
Yeah. So.
Isn't that funny? Because that's one that was like sold out in London. Couldn't get the music in. It's great. The production looks awesome. The value and everything. Do I think it's going to be the greatest thing I've seen? Absolutely not. Do I think I'll have a good time? As I say,
absolutely.
Anything with a blood budget or a water budget or a fire budget is always a good time.
There you
and
go.
And we've got decapitation people and a man in his
underwear. Let me tell you something. If you have a water budget, you're using a lot of water.
Oh, that Nine, revival of Nine with the water and the
set.
What
about Singing in the Rain?
Whoa! Yeah, I still can't stop with that.
No,
that was awesome.
I just saw a lovely little video on the Facebook. You know the Facebook?
The Facebook.
The Facebook, where it basically had the Singing in the Rain scene, and they were saying, if storm clouds, the idea is not to run out of the rain, but to learn how to dance inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how lovely.
La, la, la. Okay, lovely. What's next? Harry Potter... Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know where you're going to go with. You don't like the books either, though. Am I correct?
No, I didn't. No, it's not that I don't like the books. I just didn't see what all the falls are all.
Okay,
about.
I remember having a Harry Potter conversation with you once in our friendship.
I read the first one. I like the movies up until the end. But so she, J.K. Rowling said that she was done with Harry Potter once it was.
She's like Barbara Streisand, final tour. I don't think so.
So. The West End has a new Harry Potter show that's opening. Somewhere I actually have the dates where it's opening. And it is. It's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's a play in two full length parts, and it starts previews on June 7th in London. It's opening cold on the West End.
Isn't that nice that you have that clout and that money and that behind you to just open cold on the West End? Doesn't everyone do it?
And that built-in audience.
You know?
They know they're going to fill
whether
the seats.
Whether it's good
whether
or
it's
bad.
Crap or not.
Yep.
So let me ask you a question, Robert. Would you buy a ticket to it?
At face price, maybe.
At face price.
Or like at the half price booth.
But you can't.
Yeah.
Because it is sold out till November of 2017. It is sold out till November of 2017.
Yeah,
and tickets are going for, I think, 3,000.
I was like 3,500, I think I saw. Yeah.
Pounds. Mm-hmm.
I think I'll wait for the touring version.
No, 4,000 pounds. Is that amazing?
That's more than Hamilton.
$5,800. Mm-hmm. So they have they're grown up. It's like 10 or 15 years after the last film. The grown-up Harry is played by Jamie Parker. And then there's those of you that are Harry Potter fans may know these characters. I don't. Ginny Potter?
Yeah.
Is that a real... Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is played by Poppy Miller and Albus?
Yes. These are all big, very big characters.
Sam Clement.
Sam Clement?
Yeah, and they... there's a picture of them in costume, and you can see that if you go to the website that you can do. So I said it was sold out through November. I lied. It's sold out through May of 2017.
Oh, well, you know.
Amazing.
Just a year.
Yeah. So she also had some other stuff, and I did not underline it, and I can't find it in here. But not only does she have this, but I think she has either a radio play. There's a lot of other Harry Potter. She did a prequel to Harry Potter.
Yes. She finished the book, she said she wasn't writing anything. She wrote some additional books. She's written these plays. That's why I say she's Barbara Streisand.
You know what J.K. Rowling stands for?
Just kidding.
Damn it. That's exactly what I was going to say. And here's the sad part. I did the quiz today.
And
it's still sitting on my printer at home.
Oh.
So I'm not going to even pretend to remember what the questions were. I will say that I only got 3 out of 5 right. So
really? It was a hard one then today.
Well, it was harder than
she
normal.
I could have lied.
I got them all right. do you have, and
I,
you probably
I didn't
don't...
bring the book, but I pulled up really quick little trivia.
All right. So we're going to go to trivia questions. So here's the deal. And we didn't say this at the top and we should right now. If you're not listening to the podcast,
What's wrong with you?
What the heck? What the double H-E hockey sticks is wrong with you?
Your life is not complete.
Right. So we have things that are only on the podcast, like Backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit about our guests and the answer to the trivia question. And we're going to get the question right now. So we're going to throw the question out. Our guests are not going to shout out any answers, or it will happen as it did with... Who was it that shouted out Elvis? And they were so wrong.
Was it Jenny Lavery. No, it was Ann Putnam.
Ann Pittman.
There's God bless Ann Putnam.
It was Ann Pittman. We're gonna shame you right here on the air again. You called out Elvis, and you were so wrong.
Don't call it out because look what we do.
We shame you in perpetuity.
Okay. So there's two questions, and they're easy because they're short answers. So, as you know, most Broadway theaters are not on Broadway.
That's true.
So, how many are actually on Broadway?
Ooh.
The other, here's another one. There's no I in a theater. Row I. Why is there no row I?
Wow, those are two really good ones. So
Elvis.
Darn it, Robert. That's a good one. So why is there no row I? I'm guessing it's like not having a building with floor 13.
It's actually, when I read the answer, I was like, you know, that really makes a lot of sense, but I didn't know either.
Oh, because it looks like, I'm not going to even say it. Yeah. I'll say it. I'm going to be publicly shamed. And the other question was, how many Broadway theaters are actually on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. We will get the answer to that at Backstage at Offstage coming right up. So is there anything you want to like before we go to break? Is there any burning things that you want to talk about?
No, I'm still mourning American Psycho and the Lost. Bob Tolero filled me in on that one. And
Bob Tolero, I saw him last night.
I know he looked at me and goes, I wasn't the first to tell you, was I? I go, yes, you were. Oh. And I was in the middle of stuff and I started shooting out emails and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, but it's okay, Bob. He's like, you're getting on a plane? I wasn't going to. Mom today told me I should do it.
Oh no.
You gotta love when your mother tells you to be irresponsible and do things like that on a Sunday afternoon.
What have I told you? Don't let her do it.
I love my mother for things worth it.
It's not going to be worth it. Although I was listening to some music from the show that I really don't want to see, which is School of Rock, and some of it's quite nice.
My mother sings Stick It to the Man all the time. She loves to call me, and I made her go. She loved that show. She thinks it is so awesome, and she sings Stick It to the Man. I'm like, Mom, again, I love Liz. She's a cool lady.
All right, so here's my beef about the internet.
Hold on. Let me get the soapbox out.
Okay, I'll step up on it. Good, thank you. Here's my beef about the internet. Why does iTunes keep changing their interface where I can't figure out how to do things anymore?
You figure out how to do it, and then it changes
again. And then they change it.
So that's not the internet.
That is Apple. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not done with the internet.
I refuse to upgrade my player. Do you?
I do it. I'm a rule follower.
I can never find where anything is.
So there's like, I'm trying to figure out how to, they move things. And they do it arbitrarily for no particular reason, it seems to me. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, and we talked about it here on the show, Playbill updated their website, and you know,
a
lot of times
I still have a love-hate relationship with it.
I do not have a love relationship with it at all.
No,
I don't like to use the H word, but I dislike this website intensely with a passion, and mainly because what I liked about the old one, which was not mobile friendly,
no.
Okay, but what I liked about it is it had a print function.
Thank you.
And when you press the print function, it gives you a nice little piece of paper with just print and the Playbill logo on top. Now, it really just is the same as pushing print on the browser, and if yours like mine, it cuts off the right side.
Okay, but on top of that, did you also notice that when you get to the articles and how they're, you know, it doesn't just open an article and it's one article on a page.
Yeah.
It bunches a whole bunch, and not everyone gives you the print option now.
Yeah, well,
not even every article is printable.
You know, Mr. Bill listens to this show.
Hey, play. Listen to
us. We did that. And so one thing that has changed, but I think changed not necessarily for the better, but for the different, is some of the updated musicals like Pippin. And we're going to go and hear a little bit of Magic to Do from Patina Miller, who, by the way, I don't like on Madam Secretary.
No, you really don't like her on that at all. But you don't like BB on that show either.
Don't like BB Newirth on that show either.
Yeah, that's all right.
So
she was rocking and pipping.
Join us, leave
You are back. This is Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We're talking to a cadre of guests, but right now I just want to reintroduce from Natalie George Productions, Natalie George.
Hello.
Is that a coincidence, by the way?
I don't know where I came up with that.
How did she was named after the company.
How did you find a company that actually had your own name? And Dallas Tate.
Hi.
And y'all are here talking about your show, The Hotel Vanya, or A Metaphysical Paradigm at the End of Everythingness.
That's right.
So that's a heck of a title.
Have you met Tim Braun, the playwright?
I have. He's got a lot of brawn. Anybody?
He will love that.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, he's probably never heard it. Dallas, you're the director of this piece.
I am.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's a very, very, very loose adaptation of Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. And when I say that, it...
Is that Anton Chekhov or the other one?
The Anton
Chekhov.
Okay,
curious.
The other one?
Well, it could be the...
You mean Pavel Chekhov?
His twin brother.
Pavel's a good time. I don't know what you're talking about.
We've been working on this show for about 3 years, actually.
My, yeah, did not know that.
Yeah, Tim and I had tacos about 3 years ago, and he said, I want to work on a show with you. And I said, that's great, I want to direct, because this is my first time directing in this town.
We were going to get to that.
And he said, I want to write it for two specific actors, Jeff Mills and Griselda Silva. So we called them. And
Lisa Sheps, but then I said
no. Yeah, well, you got cut out of the system. It's okay. And so we started meeting and having, you know, breakfast tacos once a month, talking about what we wanted to do. And Tim had just come off of finishing the production of Three that he did with Breaking String Theater with Jeff and Griselda, which was his adaptation of Three Sisters. And he said he wanted to do another Chekhov piece. I said, that's great. And then we started working and tossing out ideas, and he came up with a script for The Hotel Vanya based on Uncle Vanya, and we've been rolling with it ever since.
Wow. So the other thing that's special about the... Well, first of all, is it a devised piece?
No.
Or was it a scripted piece?
It's scripted. Tim wrote the script, and the four of us worked on it extensively. We did a few stage readings, one of them in my backyard 2 years ago, and then a year and a half ago, we did another stage reading at the Offshoot. Mm-hmm. Thank
that's
you,
the
Rude
small,
Mex.
That's the small theater mm-hmm. at the Off Center.
That's right.
Yeah, the great thing is the actors in this production, even the ones that came in just after Grease and Jeff, have really gotten to sort of mold the character, worked with Tim on the script to really make it their own and make it something that they have ownership of and really feel inside of.
Yeah. We've also, in the process, we did a lot of writing retreats. So Tim is the playwright, but I think...
You did writing retreats? Did you go to cool places?
We did. We went to the Mondrano Buffalo Ranch. There's buffalo there. It's a wonderful spot. It's like 2 hours outside of town. I couldn't tell you where it is. I followed Tim there blindly, foolishly. But we got there, and they have these nice little hunting cabin lodge things that we stayed in, and there are literally like buffalo roaming around. And
just to make you laugh, my mother called me this weekend because mm-hmm. she found buffalo molting fascinating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just since Liz, we were talking about...
Buffalo molting?
I thought it was a really weird
do they
phone
molt?
Call, too.
Yeah,
they do. Evidently and they shed it. They're very, it's very interesting mm-hmm. looking. But as you speak of buffalo, and we were talking about mom, I'm like, that's kind of funny and random.
And the fun thing about Tim is he likes to... He puts references to things in his life all over his play. So there's a reference to a buffalo ranch in the show itself.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
How great
there's
is
lots
that?
Of little things. If you know Tim...
Now,
you
Natalie, were you part of these retreats?
No, I just joined them, I don't know, like
a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago. They conned me into it.
Well, clearly they conned you into it for good purpose, because there's a lot from what I understand, and I'm one of the people that have not been able to see it because you're selling out, sold out almost.
Yeah, it's crazy. So for me, the big draw was that the piece was going to be site-specific, that it really wanted to be in a warehousey type space, a non-theater space that we could transform. One of the major themes of the piece is gentrification. So there was a need to be in something that the hope was the next time the audience drove by, it would not be that same thing and it would be gone.
Yeah.
So that we, you know, the footprint would be erased. And that's something that is a true to my heart of found spaces.
I was just about to say, I love the work that you do because you really do things in an untraditional sense. And you do great work. I was just talking about you last night to some random people, and we were talking about your work. And specifically that you choose these untraditional spaces. Yeah. So
we're going to take a quick tangent. Do you think you're going to be that we're going to exercise Nicole's ability to engineer here? Dallas Tate, since you're new here, I'm going to give you a quick job.
Okay.
Can you please choose a number between 10 and 23?
18.
18. Okay. As soon as Nicole gets that queued up, we'll see what 18 is. How close are you?
I'm ready.
Go.
Hi, I'm Noah Paris, and I'm in Billy Elliot the Musical. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Yay, we got Billy Elliot.
Billy Elliot.
I have to say, I'm going to take another little tangent here. Nicole, we had problems with this CD last week, so I burnt a new one. This is a new one.
Oh, okay.
So the numbers are different. And, of course, I had to listen to a lot of them, and there's so many that we have not heard.
Funny.
There are some funny ones.
I don't think we ever heard the Hedwig one. I don't think we
ever heard. I heard that one today, the Angry Inch. We have heard it before.
We always hear a lot. There's one Jason one we haven't heard, but there's a gajillion.
Yeah.
We've recorded a few and we haven't heard them.
We've recorded 46 of them.
Oh, wow. Yes, we have.
So there you go. So site specific. And this is interesting in that when I buy a ticket, I don't know where it's going until I buy the ticket and you tell me where it is.
Yes.
why did you do that? Well, you don't have to answer that. So... That's good. It adds a certain amount of mystery to it.
It's a secret location. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We wanted to have a secret location. We also, so this building was formerly sort of an Austin entity.
Yep.
And it is no longer going to be. They're actually starting construction around us, which is hilarious.
So you say it's about gentrification. So can I presume that it's going to turn into a sort of a hipster kind of place?
It is. It's going to turn into, it's actually going to turn into a hostel.
Okay.
Which should be pretty cool. Yeah. So I sort of also wanted the secret location because I didn't want to sort of identify with the icon that it used to be. I really wanted it to, the audience sort of comes in a back way and is led through the building to get to the performance space. And there was just a way I wanted it to feel like you were sort of walking into something you didn't know and taking in the new environment we've created completely.
And it's somewhat immersive, I would assume, then.
It absolutely is. It's a very intimate experience. There's only 30 seats available each night, partially because of the size of the room that we're in, but also because I think the piece warrants that. I think we earn that. But these chairs are just in the room that is the stage that these people are performing in.
Right.
So you are very much in the hotel that these people occupy and live in this
that's
world.
Cool. And the word of mouth is good, and you're getting good reviews.
We're getting good, very good reviews.
I've seen all your postings, and I've been like, this is exciting.
Yeah,
I do have to call out one of the reviews, and I'm looking on my phone because I need this in order to talk about this review. One of them was Dr. David Robinson,
mm-hmm.
who did a review for CTX, and now I can't get back to where I want to be anyway. So we make fun of critics that use these words that nobody
Dr. Dave did.
But Dr. Dave did, but he then defined it.
Because Dr. Dave listens, and he's a good reviewer.
So
Benjamin Brantley and Charles Isherwood maybe need to call Dr.
Benjamin
Dave.
Benjamin Brantley. I think Ben Brantley's going to be very happy that you call him Benjamin.
Yeah. Well, when you're in trouble, you're Benjamin.
Oh, is that the way it works? All right, I can't figure out how to do it where I was going to show me the pronunciation. But he said, Hotel Vanya, or metaphysical paradigm at the end of the everythingness, is definitely a work of eschatology.
Eschatology.
Eschatology. Well,
eschatology.
What's it mean? In the microphone.
It's a religious exploration of icons and such.
And as you say that, I realize eschatology. There's an eschatologist Matilda.
Yes.
Either that or it's looking at Escher paintings. I'm not sure
which. Yeah, but that is indeed it. It's this final destiny. It's a theological word meaning.
I guess I've kind of just zoned out that word and
eschatologist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find eschatologists everywhere now.
So Dallas, how's this been? Is your first experience of a director? Tell us about that briefly.
It's been really fantastic. I think having worked on it for so long beforehand, mm-hmm. and been so close with the playwright and the main actors involved in the piece, and like including the rest of the cast, it's I've had a lot of time to think about it. It's not like something that got jumped in my lap like 6 months ago or something like that. So it's also had this kind of feeling of trusting that the script is good enough and that these actors are good enough to we can do this piece wherever we need to. We started rehearsing before we knew where we were going to be performing. So there was a lot of like blocking it, like it's going to feel like this, I promise. And just having to trust that like it'll fit into the space it needs to fit into. And we found the space like 2 weeks, two and a half, barely before we opened.
This is why it's good to advertise that, you know, buy the ticket and we'll tell you where.
Exactly. But I mean, it all worked out really well. The space is beautiful, and the things we wanted really did fit into it, and it feels like it's lived in that space forever. But I think that's a real testament to the agility of the actors that I have and the script being as strong as it is, more so than my ability to tell people where to go and what and how to say things that they're supposed to say.
So as a director, who's the best actor in the show? No, tell us who else
he
is
was
in,
looking
in the
at
show.
You like, oh my.
I could tell you. No, I won't. Like I said, we have Jeff Mills. He plays the good doctor. Griselda Silva plays the character of Sonia. We have Robert Pearson, who plays Uncle Vanya, or just Vanya in our piece. Noel Gallen plays the bellboy. And then Zach Carr plays the character of the boy. And Katie Taylor plays the character of the girl. And that's the full cast.
Wonderful. And you are playing through when? You're playing now.
Yes. We have a show tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night, and then two shows on Saturday night, and then that's it. We have a late – we just added a late night Saturday night show at 10:30 p.m.
Okay. And indeed, you have practically all sold out. Any chance that this show could be extended or remounted soon?
Well, we aren't going to extend it. I mean, we literally can't. The bulldozers are coming in on our heels.
The bulldozers are coming. I've read the book. I haven't seen the movie.
it could appear once again in the future. It could pop up again.
I hope so, because as I said, I tried to see it and wasn't able. And it sounds like something that we need the rest of the city of Austin to see.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. Yeah. Oh, I didn't ask you, where can people get information?
You can get more information at nataliegeorgeproductions.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for being on the show. And hopefully, if you can stick around and join us backstage.
Sure.
I hope you are.
That was Natalie George and Dallas Tate. Their production, The Hotel Vanya, or A Medical Physical Paradigm at the End of Everythingness, is playing at a secret location through May 29th. For more information, please visit, you may visit, Natalie George Productions.
June 4th.
What'd I say?
June 5th, sorry.
I said May 29th.
June 4th. I don't know when it closes.
May 29th, but it's June 24th. Never trust cut and paste. NatalieGeorgeProductions.com.
Why don't you tell him?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps. And I've just been told by the people that count that Dallas and Natalie can't join us backstage. So I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
You'll just have
you.
To come back. I was waiting to get you backstage, too.
I know.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
So locally, lots of stuff going on in town.
Yes.
Lots of really good stuff, but I do want to talk about One Man, Two Governors, which is officially opening in a week or so.
The previews start tonight, and press night opening is Saturday.
Right, Saturday. That's at Zach Theater. Folks, we've talked about it here. James Corden brought it from London to Broadway and was a smash hit here. I believe it won the best Tony.
He won for his performance.
He won for the performance, right.
It was nominated 7 Tonys, I think. 7.
And it cascaded him to the top everything, and we kept him. He's now on late night TV, and I think that's kind of a waste. Although he brings a lot of Broadway to his show.
You know what? I was about to say, he does a lot of Broadway and a lot of stuff. Have you seen him do his crosswalk musicals?
No.
And he just stops in the middle of a crosswalk when cars are there and does musical numbers with people and then runs when the light changes, then goes back out and does the rest?
No, because you know why?
It's hilarious.
I'm asleep when he's on.
Oh, no, I don't watch it then. I watch little clips of it later.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the whole surfing the web and looking at clips thing. I'm really bad. That's why I don't.
I'll
do the
send
Facebook
you some for enjoyment
yeah, and then I won't even look at it. No, so let's just don't even bother. So also, last week on the show, we had Clyburn Park, and they call it Clyburn Park. I believe when I lived in Chicago, that area of town is called Clyburn Park.
I was about to say, I knew it as Clyburn.
Me too, but they're calling it Clyburn. I don't know what... I'm willing to say that for 10 years I lived in Chicago, I was pronouncing it wrong.
There too and thought it was the same thing.
Anyway, so Clyburn Park... opened at the Rollins Center last week. It plays in through this weekend. I went to see it last weekend, and they do a really nice job at that piece. And that piece also talks about gentrification. So it really speaks about gentrification and race and some incredible performances.
They do a good job. And I really enjoyed their interview last week.
I did as well.
A lot.
So I got to go see that.
You're a theatrical maven this week.
I did a lot of mavening. Then I received a press release about Tom Chamberlain, local actor, has a, and I didn't even know about this, a web series called The Pantsless Detective.
Rebecca Robinson's in it all the time.
Although I watched the first two seasons, and there's only been two seasons, and I haven't seen Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. I know
she's in it.
Amy
of her Lewis.
And her, like, Olivia Newton-John physical, like, leotard and...
Amy Lewis is in it. Amy Lewis came to, you know, she's basically a lighting designer, but she came to acting fame when she played Eliza Doolittle in Pygmalion for different stages.
Yes.
Did anybody see that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought she did a good job.
She was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought she was awesome.
All right. Well, good. Well, that was important to hear all that.
Yeah. When I met Amy, it was as an actor, not as a...
Oh, okay.
Oh, it was?
I knew her as a lighting designer. But she's one of those jack of all trades.
She's a lovely lady too.
She is. She's mm-hmm. very nice. She plays the secretary. And also, I will not pronounce this name right. It was the show was created by Tom Chamberlain and Deepu Bhattacharya. Anybody know the proper pronunciation of that?
I have to put my glasses on.
No. You nailed it.
Anyway, so I'm guessing he's not
necessarily... I think you were pretty close. Deepu Bhattacharya?
I think he's not a theater person. I think he's probably more of a film person, and that's why we don't know him, but I don't know him. But I thought that was interesting. So I also want to talk about, and you'll be happy that I chose this to do, is the Austin Playhouse, speaking of Austin Playhouse, is starting to do theater, family theater now.
I know. Isn't this cool? They announced it this week.
Yeah.
Yes, I do love the family theater, children.
The Arkansas Bear opens on June 4th and plays through June 10th. Well, so that's a quickie. It's directed by Laura Toner, and it stars Aaron Alexander, Marie Falgren, who also did the choreography, Jess Hughes, Michael Stewart, Zach Thomas, and then other people.
Jess has been really cute. She had to learn how to go on roller skates, so I've been sending her videos from all the guys back in the 70s mm-hmm. that would dance mm-hmm. with the, and she's like, yeah, not there yet. And I'm like, work on it, girl. Those were the good times.
He's cute. I do need to do a shout out to Marie Falgren, who's in this show. She helped when Ground Floor Theater shut its doors during Frontera Fest Long Fringe. She helped find homes for many of the people that were stranded. So
very,
shout out to
very
her.
Very awesome.
Very, very good. So are we ready for today in theater history?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 1914, Dallas will remember this. the Ziegfeld Follies opened. It starred Ed Wynn. Ziegfeld Follies of 1914, because there was one just about every year. and it was directed by Leon Errol. He also danced in it. And somebody named Florence Ziegfeld directed it. It ran for 112 performances. I'm not quite sure why I don't normally...
You always talk about the Ziegfeld. I think that's just a Ziegfeld thing.
So 1921, this is something I did know, speaking of Eugene O'Neill. The show Gold opened. I thought I knew all the shows from Eugene O'Neill. I've never heard of that one, Gold. Anybody?
No.
Yeah,
no. I think it's a best of. It's just scenes from all his other stuff.
It's cool.
That was funny, Robert.
It's Donald Trump's favorite, I'll tell you that. It's huge. It ran six performances. At the Frazee Theater in
Definitely
New York.
Was not Gold.
Apparently Frazee. They picked the wrong scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we jump from 1921, 50 years to 1971. And Your Good Man Charlie Brown premiered on Broadway at the Golden Theater. This is after a very successful run off Broadway, running almost 1,600 performances. So it ran 1,600 performances off Broadway. How many performances do you think it ran on Broadway?
Oh, that was a successful run, right?
I'm not giving anything away.
Oh, no, 82.
82.
A random number, okay. Right?
Anybody else?
Four.
Four. Close. 32. It did not do well on Broadway, but it was.
82 was a pretty good guess. That's not. I mean, it was over.
It was.
I wouldn't have won the showdown.
It was revived in 1999, which is the one you're thinking of.
Oh no, that lasted for. It lasted like for almost 2 years. That was a while.
With Kristen Chenoweth and Anthony Rapp. With new music by Andrew Lipa was added to it.
I know. Well, isn't it coming back again?
I don't know. Oh, yes, it is. No. It was somewhere else. It's in,
it's
Los Angeles.
My Millie Shapiro, my Matilda's in it.
Yeah, that's the one with the all-kid cast that's not getting good reviews.
Well, I bet you Millie Shapiro is because that kid's brilliant. I don't know about the other ones, but that Millie Shapiro.
She likes Millie Shapiro.
I love Millie Shapiro.
So, Frank, do you remember where it's playing?
No, I don't. No. Just remember I saw a couple of reviews saying that. The problem with having kids is they don't understand the arch humor that is the core of the Schultz material.
That makes sense.
And it should blow Sheriff their Bride in Shetland.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So the we'll just jump to today's birthdays because we're starting to run a little late now. Andy Griffith was born in 1926. Morgan Freeman's birthday is today. Colin, wish him a happy birthday.
Hello, Morgan.
Cleavon Little.
Great name.
Ooh, yeah.
And I've been watching Blazing Saddles lately.
It's another good movie.
He's so good in that.
Rene Aubergine. I can't pronounce it. Aubergine. Thank you. Robert,
Robert needs a fact check and get in the corner and hang out. Yeah.
And also Jonathan Pryce.
I love me, Jonathan.
Locally, Molly Karish's birthday today.
Hello, Miss Molly.
And tomorrow, one Matrix Kilgore.
Oh, happy birthday, Matrix.
Yeah.
It's because they're all in June. June's a good month,
Well, it's busting out all over. let's hear a little bit about how adults do, Charlie Brown.
It's a cozy sanctuary, but it's far from necessary, cause I'm just as
we're having board issues here. Welcome back. This is Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro, and now we're here to talk to the Sam Bass Community Theater folks and their show Death and the Maiden, and we have with us the director, Ronnie Pryor.
Hello.
I wrote Veronica, but I know you as Ronnie. And performers in the show, Frank Binge.
Hello.
Kathy Sheridan.
How do?
And Robert Stevens.
Hello.
Let me try that again. Say that again because your microphone.
Hello.
There you go. So, Death and the Maiden. Ronnie, tell us about the show. What is it?
Wow. It's a show. It's a play written by a Chilean playwright, Ariel Dorfman, exploring what happens when a democracy is recovered after 17 years of a military dictatorship. It's kind of about redemption, forgiveness, and PTSD and total craziness. And it is beautifully written.
It deals with some heavy subjects, does it not?
It deals with some very heavy subjects, yes.
Do you want to tell folks, give them the nickel tour of the plot, or you want them just to come and see it for themselves?
I would prefer them to come and see it for themselves.
Okay. But it is dealing with some heavy issues, and it's been around. It's been on Broadway, the West End, and all over the world.
I think it premiered in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. And there was a movie as well with Sigourney Weaver was in, I think,
was.
The film.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley.
It's always had interesting casts to me, too.
Yes.
I've always found them, really?
As has
it's
our
a powerful
version.
Character piece, so it's going to attract a lot of actors.
So tell us I find it interesting why the title is here. So tell people why it's called Death and the Maiden.
It's called Death and the Maiden because Paulina Salas, now Paulina Escobar, who was kidnapped and tortured by the military regime, loves that piece of music. And it was used against her at that time, much like the classical music was used in what was that show?
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange. Thank you. And
yeah, it's the Schubert Quartet.
Right.
It runs under the play. It runs through the play. It's a current.
Right. I found that a very interesting fact. And y'all are prepared to do a little scene, right?
Yes, we
So tell us, just Robert, who's your character?
I'm playing Gerardo Escobar, a human rights lawyer who's just been named to the president's commission to investigate what the military did, whose wife, Paulina, was the person in mention of having been tortured to death in the Maiden.
Okay, and Kathy?
And I'm Paulina Salas.
And Frank?
And I'm Dr. Roberto Miranda, who stops to help Gerardo when he has a flat and no spare. And when he brings him back to the house, Paulina thinks she recognizes in my voice the man who tortured her.
He's not going to be a good Samaritan anymore after this, right? Or maybe not.
Yeah. Come and see, find out.
This is Kathy Sheridan, Frank Binge, and Robert Stevens doing a scene from San Bass Community Theater's production of Death and the Maiden.
How did it go? Was the flat easy to fix?
Paulina, you are going to listen to me.
Of course I'm going to listen to you. Haven't I always listened to you?
I want you to sit down and I want you to listen to me. You know that I have spent a good part of my life defending the law. If there was one thing that revolted me in the past regime...
You can call them fascists.
Don't interrupt. If there's something revolted me about them, it was that they accused so many men and women that they forged evidence and ignored evidence and did not give the accused any chance of defending themselves. So even if this man committed genocide on a daily basis, he has the right to defend himself.
But I have no intention of denying him that right, Gerardo. I'll give you all the time you need to speak to your client in private. I was just waiting for you to come back, that's all. So we could begin this in an orderly, official fashion. You should know, Doctor, that everything you say will be recorded here.
My God, Paulina, shut up. Let the man say what he's going to say.
Water.
What?
He wants water, Gerardo. Well, there's nothing like good fresh water, eh, Doctor?
Escobar, this is inexcusable. I will never forgive you as long as
Hold on. Let's stop that right there, Doctor. Let's see if this recorder is working.
Escobar, this is inexcusable. I will never forgive you as long as I live.
Ready. It's recording everything marvelously. We already have a statement about forgiveness. It is Dr. Miranda's opinion that it is inexcusable, that he could never forgive as long as he lives, tying someone up for a few hours, holding someone without the right to speak for a few hours. Agreed. More?
I do not know you, madam. I have never seen you before in my life, but I can tell you this. You're extremely ill, almost prototypically schizoid. But you, Escobar, you, sir, are not ill. You're a lawyer, a defender of human rights, a man who has been persecuted by the former military government as I was, I myself. Your case is different. You're responsible for what you do, and what you must do is untie me immediately, and I want you to know that every moment that passes makes you more of an accomplice to this abuse, and that you will therefore have to pay the consequences.
Who are you threatening?
I wasn't.
Threatening? Yes, you were. Let's get this clear, Doctor. Threat time is over. Out there, you fascists may still give the orders, but in here for now, I'm in command. Now, is that clear?
I've got to go to the bathroom.
That's the way to end it. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it gets less radio suitable.
Yeah.
Where's where can we find 3 minutes?
Well, you found it. So y'all have opened, yes?
Yes.
How's it going?
Good.
Pretty darn well.
That's good. And you're up at the San Bass Theater.
We are.
I love that theater.
I was about to say, we love
it. It's a quaint little space.
It's a quaint little space in a beautiful little place.
It's a great space for this piece because the audience simply can't get away from you.
Yeah. Very well said, Robert.
They are almost in your lap, and trust me, there are times when they don't want to be.
Oh, my gosh. So where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Well, they can go to the website, sambasstheater.org. That is SAMBASSTHEARTRE.
There you go. .org. O-R-G.
Did I throw in an extra R?
Yeah, people know how to speak.
You know what I'm trying to say.
We know what they were
trying to say.
The
right way.
Theater with an R-E.
Theater with an R-E.
You looked like a child in the spelling bee, though, with your eyes in the air.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
And when do y'all close?
June 11th.
June 11th. So they have some time
to see it. So this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. And Saturday's at 2.
And it's a lovely,
Sunday's at 2.
Sunday's at 2. It's a lovely trip, and people can, you could take a picnic out there before and have a little
yeah, there's
early
a beautiful little park.
Yes.
So there's a lot to really do. And you can feel free to, you know, bring alcoholic beverages that you can leave in your car and give to the cast afterwards.
There you go. Thank y'all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And hopefully y'all can stick around and join us backstage.
Yep.
Since we don't count, maybe.
Since you don't count.
That's what you said earlier, that they counted. They
went No. Y'all count.
You said, oh, but you're the ones who count, so yeah.
Did I say that?
You did,
yeah, but
play
that's
okay.
Oh,
play
my
it
God.
Back, yeah.
No. It was Dallas I wanted to get on because he's never
it's
been on the show.
It's because of
before.
This play that she wants
oh
everything
God.
Played
yeah,
back.
God, yeah, God knows everybody that listens to the podcast has heard way too much from me.
Yeah, there you go. So that was Veronica Pryor, Kathy Sheridan, Ronnie Pryor. I should have just written it Ronnie. Kathy Sheridan, Frank Binge, and Robert Stevens of Sam Bass Community Theater's production of Death and the Maiden at the Sam Bass Theater through June 11th. For more information, Sam Bass Theater with an RE.org. We'll be right back.
By the maiden must sail in the morning's high.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. Nicole Shiro, I'm just going to talk because you are queuing it up.
I'm queued.
You are queued.
You told me to be fast.
You were fast. Grease
you're lightning.
Much faster than I.
Quick like bunny.
Yes.
Quick like bunny, Robert just said. So we did another show. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Almost
flawless.
Almost. I will take that.
Remember, folks, check us out on Facebook and please like us there because we have security issues.
Please.
And then stitch us on Stitcher.
Sure.
Tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet.
How can folks get us the best way?
Oh, my gosh. The best way you can get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox. We just arrive each week. We're there.
Yep.
Offstageonair.com.
Stand by for Austin Monitor News, followed by the new remix, I believe, if it follows that afterwards, with Tracy Schultz. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. For those of you listening to the podcast, don't stop.
Drink La Haya! For life! Red vodka!
Yes, Liza Wolf!
Drinks for everybody!
Oh, well, the curtain occasion? Has just come down on Stomach Knot the Musical. Story of a hapless young woman who's struggling at work to make people think she's good, but she's not fooling anybody. here we are. That's a little too close to home. Never mind. We are here backstage, and joining us are the people that count.
The cool people. Yay.
One, two.
Kathy Sheridan. Robert Stevens, Frank Binge, and Ronnie Pryor, welcome to Backstage.
Thank you.
Dun, dun, dun.
thank you. We count too, though, Lisa. We're here.
We count too. So let's just, we do. Let's just, and I do apologize for if I said that. That is so not what I meant. Let's jump right to the answer to the questions.
Okay, but I have a quick question for you real quick. You just got new glasses, although you're not wearing them. You're wearing your
They've already gone peepers. Back to Warby Parker.
Really?
Yep. They did not work. I could not see out of them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I just dawned on me.
Okay.
Sorry.
So let's.
Okay. So as we know, most Broadway theaters are not on Broadway. So out of all the Broadway theaters, how many are actually on Broadway? Would you like to know the amount of technical Broadway theaters there are to help you with your number?
Sure. Throw that out there.
40.
How you said that with a lot of gusto.
40. Because okay. 40s are awesome. I'm loving the 40s.
All right. So there are 40 Broadway theaters. How many are on Broadway
itself?
How many itself?
Are actually on Broadway?
Now, that's current, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Current Broadway. Okay.
Not at any point in time.
Right. No. I'm going to
What's
say,
happening right now?
I'm going to say six.
Six? That's a good answer.
Three.
Three's a good answer. No guess?
Ronnie just shook her head.
I was going to go big and go 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you'd be wrong.
Yeah, I was going to go with...
It's not the first time.
You might be right.
I was going to say two.
Two.
Okay, there are
four actually on Broadway.
I was going to say four.
Of the rest.
10%.
Here's of the rest. 35 are technically in the theater district in the area bounded by 6th Ave, 9th Ave, West 41st, and West 53rd. The only one exception is...
Lincoln Center.
Vivian Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center, all the way up in the 60s. Okay.
But wait, is City Center considered Broadway? I guess not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
There is no I, row I, in a theater.
Right. So I started to say my guess, so I'm just going to let other people say it.
Because it looks too much like J.
No,
I didn't. I wasn't thinking J.
Because it looks too much like a one.
It's exactly what it is. It's how to avoid disappointing people who might have thought they were sitting in a row one.
Row one. I love that.
And this, I didn't say it, but we all know, we all talk about the difference between Broadway and off-Broadway is the seats, the number of seats
correct.
In the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know what the off-Broadway number is? I know what the Broadway is.
$3.99?
It's actually a whole, so Broadway is at least 500, but can go up. Off-Broadway is between $100 and $499. I didn't realize it was large of a spectrum.
Right, because 99 seats is off-Broadway.
Yeah, but I didn't realize it was just, and that really is a lot. I mean, that's
And here I thought it was a distance thing.
Yeah. Well, and off-Broadway, if you look at, and I'm curious because where did the Fantastics play forever?
Oh, up down, right near my place
in the
village.
Sullivan Street Theater has less than 100 seats. It's a small theater.
It's a teeny theater.
Interesting. Well, but that was back in the day. That was back prior to before there was an off Broadway.
Yeah. I believe grandfathered in probably for his size.
Probably got grandfathered
in. Naked Boy Singing played in that small little theater over there right by the duplex. And
I think there's a lot of I'm probably sure that the classification is either an equity classification or it's a classification for the Obie Awards. Because a lot of people will call themselves off-Broadway when they're not really technically officially off-Broadway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Because they're not on Broadway.
I don't know.
Yeah.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
God, I've been waiting for that.
So, Frank,
it was really
I'm
bad
no
for
longer.
You too. There you go.
Frank, you have not been backstage before.
No, this is my first time. Or on stage.
Well, why didn't
either.
You say that beforhand? Because I thought you had been here before.
No. He was. I did. It was just.
You
was,
came, but
I
you weren't
quiet.
On air.
He was
that's,
ashamed of his virginity.
I know you've been here, but that's interesting.
Thrilled that you're here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Many of us know you as a critic.
Of the recent years,
Of the recent years. So give us a nickel tour of your resume. I mean, critic, so obviously writer, actor.
Director, designer. I think that's everything.
That's it.
Don't do costuming or choreography.
Don't do costuming.
Nothing
so,
to see in it.
One of the things we always ask back here is what got you into theater?
Oh gosh. I've been involved in theater since I was in the fourth grade.
So about 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 20 years.
Thank you so much. I started out actually doing ventriloquism work.
Really?
Yeah.
Do something.
I can't now. That skill is so long gone.
Do you still have
your
sidekick?
You know you're on radio.
No.
You could have pretended.
No?
No.
That is how does one get into ventriloquism? I always wondered, who decides one day to go, I'm going to be a ventriloquist?
You watch Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney.
Is that what
child.
Did it for you? Okay. I've always wanted to ask someone that, so thank you for that opportunity, Frank.
Do you still enjoy watching people like, and I forgot the guy's name, the current comedian, ventriloquist?
Oh yeah.
Do you still currently watch all that stuff and enjoy
it? Yeah, I love watching a good ventriloquist, somebody who can do a character.
Do you watch did you watch the movie Best in Show?
Oh
God. Yes.
So that, love Christopher Guest movies.
Well, and then he was a ventriloquist. Yeah. Well, he was an amateur ventriloquist.
I like you did the air quotes.
He ventriloquisted his dog. I don't know if that's a verb or not, but it is now. So you started out as a ventriloquist. So did you? I'm assuming you had a dummy, and what was its name?
Timmy.
Did it look like you?
No, it looked like Jerry Mahoney.
I wanted to ask, did it look like you or not? So
there you go.
No, it was one of those that came in the kit, so didn't look. And then I got, somewhere around fourth grade, got involved in theater. First show I ever did was a Gilbert and Sullivan, HMS Pinafore, and been doing it ever since.
Lovely.
Oh, that's awesome.
So can one assume that you can sing then?
One can assume that.
Oh, wonderful. Do you do musicals now? Can you dance?
Yes, I can, but as I was telling Kathy the other day, I am choreography challenged. So when I learn the routines from a show, they're here forever. I can still do all the tap dance from Dames at Sea in the
70s. Oh, that's phenomenal.
Because it has to be hard-coded.
Okay.
It's not like
just
lines.
Just takes a while.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, maybe, you know, I think Kathy sometimes choreographs shows. So I think maybe you can get Frank into a show.
Perhaps.
I'm just saying, hire him.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
We're discussing Perhaps. That.
And I get 10. Oh, is there something you want to talk about?
No.
Are we doing something specific?
No.
She's going to help me with an audition. I want to do a musical again because it's been Little Shop of Horrors back when the Earth Cooled was the last one I did.
Wow.
Yeah, so I haven't done a musical since 1999.
So speaking of musicals, this is a little
sidebar.
I watched the new Maya Rudolph.
Oh my god! It's Maya and Marty.
Did you see it?
I recorded it. No, I was at you one man. How did you watch it last night?
I watched it when I got home.
Oh,
but at the end of it, the they did a number from Savan Glover.
Bring the noise, bring the funk.
No, it's up for Tony.
Oh, shuffle along.
Oh, this
shuffle
year.
Along. Yes.
Okay. That was Savion Glover. You're looking at me like I was not.
No. I'm talking about the current show that's happening in that show. Anyway, Savion Glover and the cast did a tap number, which was pretty phenomenal.
That's it. That's exciting.
That's it. Where'd you grow up, Frank?
Topeka, Kansas. Yeah, Topeka. It's an Indian word meaning a good place to dig potatoes, which pretty much says it for Topeka, Kansas.
Did you find it a good place to dig potatoes?
That's about the only thing I found it good for.
That's interesting. So the city name Chicago is a Potawatomi Indian word that means wild onion.
Wild
there you go.
Onion, potato.
So
man, you got
there
soup
you go.
Going right there.
It's the Midwest for you.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Austin? And have you been doing theater since you got here to Austin?
What brought me to Austin was...
laughing at it.
I had wanted... Actually, I'd set a goal for myself that before I turned 30, I was getting the hell out of Kansas. And so I
How'd
did.
How'd you do?
I did.
Good. Excellent.
And I moved here in 82 and started doing theater in about 84. And I've been doing it ever since, except for a 7-year stretch where I was a DJ in San Antonio.
So you are equally home on the boards and behind the mic. Well, great.
That's how I put myself through college, was doing radio.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool. You did it while you were... Yeah, that is cool.
You know, video killed the radio star.
Yes.
Just in case you know.
I heard that somewhere.
It's true. Ronnie just said, I heard that somewhere. She is between two microphones and nobody can hear her. So she's our resident mime here backstage. Kathy, what's new at you?
I'm going to be a glamma.
You're going to be a glamma or a grandma?
No. Let's get that correct. A glamma.
A glamma. Please
yes.
define.
That would be my son and his wife are going to have a child.
Uh-huh.
And when they first got married a couple of years ago, we talked about, you know, when they were going to have children. And I said, well, when there's a word that we can all agree that I can be called. Then you feel free to procreate.
So you chose Glamma.
Well, yeah, because they didn't like Gigi.
Okay.
My son said it sounded like a stripper.
A friend of mine chose her grandma name is Cricket.
Cricket? I like that.
Which I like. So, well, here's something new, Kathy Sheridan. I did not know you had a son.
I have a son and a daughter.
Well,
like,
tell
she's
us
got
about
two
them.
Children.
I do.
How do I not know that?
Well, I think I've kept them away from me. No, that's not it.
I've met them, so I'm surprised
you
Nicole
knows
them.
Them.
I don't believe I have met
My
them.
Son is 28 years old.
Mercy.
Keegan Owen Smith Sheridan.
That's a great
yes,
name.
That is great.
It's a mouthful. I love it.
And
I have a 26-year-old beautiful daughter, Alyssa Mercado.
Are they here in Austin?
They both live in Austin.
And are they performers as well?
My son was an actor through like middle school and early high school, was very good at it,
uh-huh.
and then quit. We actually did a show together with Naughty Austin with Blake Yelovich.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, his own Naughty Austin, the Tummy series.
Okay, I did not see
And my
that.
Son played young Tummy.
Wow. Okay. Was
Ran
he young at the time? Because that
yes,
was that
he was
Blake
young.
Did some
Yes.
Off color.
This was
theater.
At the Velveeta Room.
Oh.
So I got to perform with my son.
So it wasn't at Arts and Real.
No.
This was prior to Arts and Real.
This is prior to Arts and Real.
Yeah. Before us.
Exactly.
Her,
yeah. Yeah. My son ran around with Dave Stokey.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed in a pink elephant costume.
Oh my!
Oh my gosh! Hilarious.
Yep. And yeah, so that.
And you my daughter,
daughter?
Of these,
my
right?
daughter Alyssa is a beautiful dancer, gorgeous dancer, and a writer.
Lovely. And who's having the child?
My
Your
son's
son,
wife.
You said that. Yes.
Yes, Tiffany.
So that's exciting. When
I know.
When do we expect
November
this to happen?
November 27th.
November 27th.
Yes.
So we'll have to call you Glamma from now on.
I was just to say, are you going to be Glamour?
Oh,
Nana,
I don't know.
You don't know.
I think
what?
I think you should
found
be Glammy
that, you know,
or Glam.
On the Book of Face, it was on a pillow, and so I sent it to my son, going, wouldn't this be funny? And then for my birthday this year, they presented me with a burp cloth with that on there.
Oh, sweet.
So, that's awesome.
Well, as my people say, and I believe I'm alone here, Mazel Tov.
Dankeschön.
Is anybody else a grandparent here? We're all of a certain age here.
No, but all my friends are becoming
Ronnie, tell us about your grandkids, kid.
I have four of them. One of them graduates from high school tomorrow, and the youngest is 2 and a half.
So tell Kathy how great it is to be a grandparent.
It's awesome. They call me Gaga. Gaga?
That's yes. awesome, too.
I'm Gaga for that name. Pull that microphone down to you.
Okay.
Use this thing. Yeah, there you go. So you also are a Jacqueline of all theater trades, because I know you as a wardrobe supervisor, costume designer. Mm-hmm. And now here you are as a director. I'm assuming this is not your directorial debut, or is
it?
Oh,
no.
No, okay. So are you also a performer?
Yes.
Okay. Give us your resume.
Well,
not your resume. What do you do?
Well.
What are the things?
Yeah, I act and direct and costume, and that's about it.
Are you from Topeka, Kansas as well?
No. I was actually born in England and grew up in Canada. No theater in school.
Oh, it was not allowed?
Was that all of BC or just the island?
I don't know.
And that's Vancouver we're talking
about,
correct?
It's Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, in British Columbia. It's probably province-wide. I think that kind of thing was...
So are you Canadian? Are you an illegal alien? Should we have you arrested? Do we tell Donald Trump about you?
No,
there's a wall.
No,
I built it outside
no.
the front door.
She can put a zipper on it, though.
I'm a British... citizen, I'm a legal resident, and if you tell Donald Trump about me, I won't answer for the consequences to his person.
Okay. Good enough. So you are still a citizen of the Commonwealth, as it were.
That is correct.
Excellent. That is so cool. Where in England did you grow up? Or I guess you were born there, but you didn't necessarily grow up there.
I was actually born in Colchester, Essex, and lived in Coventry until I was 8. When my parents got the scathingly brilliant idea to move to Canada.
Well, why not?
Why not, indeed?
I like Canadian.
So are all your relatives still in England? Did you have other relatives that came to Canada? Or
no.
You were really just...
Yeah, most of them are still in England.
Do you get over there to see them?
Not often. Okay. No, the last time I was back there was 1989, so...
And what got you into theater?
An ad in the paper. They were looking for... Now, it was an audition notice for The Odd Couple.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I could be a pigeon sister. Because if there's one thing I can do easily, it's an English accent.
Ah, yeah.
I didn't much realize there was any more to acting than that.
I love it.
Whenever I think of the Pigeon Sisters, I keep thinking of, and I'm totally blanking on her name, but the woman, one of the Pigeon Sisters that played her on television... Oh,
yeah! Don't
I was actually in a show with her. I was in. I did Elephant Man with her, and I can't remember her name.
That lady.
So you answered that, and you got the job.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a pigeon sister?
Well, no, I didn't actually. They couldn't. It was a small Sam Bass Theater. It was very
small
at that time. Yes, and they couldn't round up 6 men who wanted to play and do The Odd Couple. So they said, well, we're doing 10 Little Indians in the spring. Would you please come back for that? So I did. And I got the second smallest role in it, a.k.a. Corpse Number 2.
Oh, lovely.
And I was hooked.
There you go. Well,
I love it.
We're glad you're doing it.
I sure am too. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be in the padded place, you know.
Robert, what don't we know about you? I'm kidding.
He probably will come up with something else really good, so don't kid.
Okay, what don't we know about you?
I can tell you something you don't know about him.
Okay, shoot. Uh-oh.
He works in the same building that I do.
Oh.
Did we found you not
that
know?
Out. No, we found that out as
today,
we're both leaving
on the way here.
To come
oh, that's
here.
So funny.
Oh,
I'm like, Robert, what are you doing in my office?
She wow. lives literally walking distance from my house, yeah. which I didn't find out till this production. And today I'm walking on my way out to the garage and I hear Robert. And I turn and look, and there
and
she was.
How oh, that long have funny. You both been in the same building and have been neighbors at the same time?
I don't know about neighbors. I've just moved into that building like 2.5 months ago. So.
Oh, yeah. I've lived there since 1999.
Wow.
And that house, the house that I'm at.
Oh, the right? house. The yeah. house I've been in since 2003, maybe.
That's,
oh, so we've been
that's
we've
crazy.
Been neighbors, yeah. yeah, about four.
But
blocks
you've been
away.
Work neighbors for just a short time,
right?
Well, yes. that is pretty cool. That's an
pretty
interesting.
Weird.
It's an interesting fact. What are your hobbies?
What
have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
I have not. I have flown a glider, however.
Oh,
that's as close as I've come.
That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty good for somebody that's scared of heights.
Uh-huh.
She has a pilot's license. This one over here,
and I've wow. also flown a glider.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fun fact
awesome.
You guys didn't know about Lisa Sheps. There you
hey,
go. We'll turn it
wow.
around.
This is just, all sorts of stuff is coming.
Well, that's
out
cool.
Here.
So, what's the strangest theater you have performed in?
The strangest.
Yeah, or a little oddball
that's a
or
good
different.
Question.
Well,
or,
I've you know I was a company member at Vortex for 4 years. So
I did not know that.
I was in the original production of Triskelion. Wherein I was the most clothed character, literally covered from my beard and my cheeks were the only thing uncovered. I had gloves on. I had a floor length coat.
Yeah. Well, that's
And I was the messenger from beyond. I had two songs actually, which you know, given that.
And
I,
what year was this?
1994.
Wow.
95.
I'm probably the newest arrival to yeah. Austin in this group.
Yeah, I've been...
You and I think, arrived
around
the
same time,
time,
but I think you may have beat
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I've been acting in Austin since the winter of 91.
The winter of your discontent?
Yes.
What was that show in the winter of 91 that you did?
The winter of 91, I had just done the summer program at Winedale, mm-hmm. and Robert Dyke, who probably right? everybody mm-hmm. who's listening to this knows, Robert Dyke decided he wanted to direct Twelfth Night. And rather than hold auditions, he just grabbed a bunch of people he knew, and we did a read-through, and switching from part to part, and he decided, okay, you're going to do this part and this part. I wanted to be Sir Toby, really.
Who doesn't?
But I got around to reading Sir Andrew, and the laughs I got, like, the first time I said anything, I was like, I just did it to myself.
Hey.
There's no way I'm going to be Sir Toby now.
So you do a lot of classical work, a lot of Shakespeare.
I do.
Do you have a preference, classical versus contemporary?
Probably classical, but I like to switch it up. I mean, I came to it by way of Shakespeare
mm-hmm.
and by the Shakespeare at Winedale program. So my eventual goal is to do all of Shakespeare's works.
I feel like you've been shaking it up a lot lately. I've seen you really. Going in between the two worlds of classical and contemporary.
There has been a lot of back and forth.
Do you have a favorite?
Which is cool.
Do you have a favorite wannabe Shakespearean role that you haven't done?
The all time.
When I turn 60, I want to do King Lear.
Okay. Why 60?
Because 60 is old enough to kind of have the gravitas and age you need. But it's still young enough that you can remember all the lines.
I love that.
That is a phenomenal answer.
And that's where we're going to leave it here backstage.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us back here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Come join us again sometime.
Absolutely. Woo.
I'd love to.
Because y'all are the ones
that
count.
One, two, three.